Welcome to Life Word, a word that gives life by Apostle Emmanuel Apenin, the senior pastor of Word Life Church, an anointed preacher and teacher of God's Word whose ministry has blessed many. We pray that you are mightily blessed and encouraged by today's message. Please stay tuned.
I want to continue my message on overcoming difficult barriers. Can you lift up your right hand with me and say, because I am in a year of total restoration, every difficult barrier in my life will fall before the end of the year. Say, every difficult barrier in my life will fall down before the end of the year. I want to shout it with your hands. Say, every difficult barrier in my life will fall down before the end of the year. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I said, a barrier is anything that stops you from moving from one place to the other, or stops you from improving or moving forward in life. And I said, it's difficult because it's not easy to cross certain barriers. Some barriers are difficult in life. You meet them. And if you don't know what you need to do, you'll be there. Some barriers have been created because of you. Some people have created some barriers. Some of you, when you go to a place, because of you, they won't laugh. When you appear, everybody will squeeze his face. It's a barrier. It's because of your arrival. They just don't like you. So there are barriers, there are difficult barriers. I didn't go to school up to SHS like I would do very well. Because I didn't go to university like I would. You see, those things, especially if you're about 20 years or 18 years and above, your parents have done enough for you. Start making a difference in your life. Can I have an amen? Yes, they didn't take you to university, but you have a gift. There is something you have that a university graduate cannot. I ask myself, all the engineers in Ghana, when they have a problem, don't they go to fitters? Don't they go to mechanics? Because if you go to university to do mechanical engineer, I expect at least some of your cars, but you still need a fitter. So it tells you that the fact that you were a graduate doesn't make you that you have every knowledge in this world. So you may not have gone to university, but you have resources that you can use. The only difference is that the person who has gone to university, his mind has been opened in such a way that he can be able to, for example, if somebody does engineering at first degree, he may have a better understanding, the knowledge behind what you are doing. However, when it comes to the hand work, because the Peter apprentice has worked with his hand for 3 years as an apprentice and become a master. You can come from the university and go and do engineering. He will still beat you to it because his hands is skilled. So don't say that I have limited resources. And there are some people, Afaras, we didn't go to school. Who told you didn't go to school? Once you can read and write and you can do your work well, you are not limited. Lift your right and say, I break the barrier of limited resources. Say, any limitation that people have put on me, I remove it from today in Jesus' name. So people will put you under limitation. They will make you feel inadequate. When you are talking to us, for you people, you have not gone to school. When they tell you like that, say, please, you have finished school. Me too, I didn't go. But right now, what's the difference between me and you? What's the difference? Limited resources. It's a barrier. There are some people who even don't give offerings in church. Because they say they don't have money. But they eat. They buy shoes. They buy dresses. When I'm taking a faith offering, there are some people who will never give 5 cedis because they say, for us, pastor knows that we don't have money. So they wait for the 1 cedi. And then when I call the 1 cedi, then you see them coming. And every time when they come, I say, you are blessed. May the Lord multiply it for you. But he will multiply the 1 cedi for you. He's not going to multiply the 5 cedis. 1 times 5 is what? 5 times 5 is what? 10 times 5 is what? 100 times 5 is what? He will multiply according to your seed. Give him some praise. And that's what he said. So you continue to, you have money all right, but you can never be the guy who is giving. But like he that sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He that sows small. If you sow one olonka in a farm, you reap according to one olonka. If somebody sows one bag, he will reap one bag. Because you say you have limited resources, that's why you do what you do. But the day you rise up and say, I can break through the one city. I can, you see, when I was growing up, I said, Lord, I want to give you a tithe of 100. I want to give you a tithe of 500. That's how I used to think. Because if I say I want to give you a tithe of 100, it is my pay should be 1,000. You see, God should be in your heart. I don't say, God, let the employer pay me 1,000. No. I say, Lord, I want to give you a tithe of 500 Ghana cedis, which means that in a month, I am supposed to earn 5,000 Ghana cedis. If you think that way, then apart from your salary, God is going to open other avenues for you because he's in your heart that you want to do something for him. Once God realizes that you want to do something for him, he will give you. That's why I said, when you get money, take the 9, eat all, and give me just 1 out of it. Is it difficult for you to do? That 1, 2, you won't give him. You are wicked people, oh! There are wicked people in this world. God says that, listen, when you get money, divide it into 10. The 9, eat, buy drinks, you and a family, buy clothes, then give me 1 out of the 10. Human being says, I will give you a. I will still not give you. Because what you have given me is still limited. And let me start with the ladies. I don't have hair. If I have hair, when your hair is up to your back, you are almost becoming like a goat. I mean, you don't need so much hair to be beautiful. One day I was driving and I saw a lady. And the lady was at this height. And he has done the hair up to her back. And I said, even that one is a width. What are you looking for? Somebody would say, oh, well, I have a weakness. You know, I'm beautiful, but I don't speak English. So when he comes to church, he even doesn't want to talk to people. Hey, don't let your weakness, we have a lot of weaknesses. How many of you have a butt in your life? But he's beautiful, but he's a gentleman, but he is tall, but weak. A story is told about a man who armed robbers came to his house at night. His wife is very short and the man is very tall. When they get, he told the wife, go and check and come and tell me and they will see what I will do to them. The wife looked through the window and said, hey, the people are 6. She said, go and check properly. So I will know what to do. So he is a strong man or very tall, but he doesn't have confidence. But you can also have a short man with so much confidence. So you can be short, but you have confidence. You can be tall, but you don't have. So everybody has a weakness. Some people say, oh, you know, I don't want to do anything in the church because I drink alcohol. Don't look at the person beside you. You look at me. There are some people who drink alcohol all the time. And because of that, they feel, well, I'm waiting. The day I will stop. The day you stop is when we are burying you. In that state, you must make an effort to do something for God. In trying to do something for God, that weakness will fall away. The problem is that you are wasting too much time on your weakness. You didn't clap for the Lord. I mean, you've got to know that there is something about you that is strong. Concentrate on it. Just concentrate on it. You look around you and you realize that your weakness is of no effect to you. So if only I can change this thing in my life, I know I will do better. Yes, it is there, but concentrate on what you can do best and still concentrating. Do you know that most of the people who are doing well in this world are people who are concentrating on something they can do best? Hello? Yeah. Specialize, that's all. Today I want to talk about the barrier of unforgiveness. There are some people seated here. They have swore in their life that there are some people, when they meet them, they will kill them. Because they are hurt and they have done good to people and they have paid them with evil. Unforgiveness. Is that not what we say? Some also have a book and the book is a red pen. Because they decide not to forgive, they don't write your issues with blue one. Because blue will make it look normal and black will make it look ordinary. But they have a red pen and they'll write the date. 15th July 2015, 4 p.m. when the weather was going to rain. They will state all the things. He told me that I am nothing. And they'll write it down. So when there's an issue, he said, on this day you said this. On this day you said this. On this day in this day. Ya fan che wom obiya wadia etimi eye e si ukwan won ye mepim. It breaks a lot of barrier in your life. So what does it mean to forgive? To forgive means is to stop being angry with somebody who has offended you. Stop being angry. That's all it means. Stop being angry with someone who has offended you. So I'm talking about the barrier of unforgiveness. Stop being angry with somebody who has offended you. I know some of you say, Pastor, you know, I know what you are saying, but there are some of the people, it's difficult. Yes, I know it. They say to err is human, to forgive is what divine. Is that not so? So long as you're on this earth, people will hurt you. People will do things, you'll be so surprised. And what even makes it painful are people you have done good to, or people you have sacrificed for. When they turn their back against you, you wake up at night and you want to go and drink water and come back. Because you just can't believe. And at times, you mention the person's name. Some people, when people offend them, they call the name. Ah, Rose. Rose. It means that it's touching your brains. You are having a mental problem. Because what is happening is that you are thinking about Rose and the things you have done for her. And the things, and you feel that, look, this thing, why will he do this thing against me? So, forgiveness is being angry against somebody who has hurt you or offended you. Forgiveness is stop being angry with yourself for what has you yourself has done or what has happened to you. Stop being angry with yourself for what you have done or what has been done to you. There are some people that all the time, they feel they are just crying about themselves. I shouldn't have done this. If I had done this, I would have been like this. That is why I am in this problem. You see, when you do that, we call it self-pity. And God doesn't have time for self-pity. There are three things I want to share. Number one, unforgiveness creates a barrier between you and God. Obi onfa nyame nyeman cheno. Uri nyame ntem. Utumi di barrier siho. A obompa yekwa nyame ontie. If say, anfa nchewo humo omu. You don't forgive. So there's a barrier. You can pray and cry. God will not hear. Because you are having an unforgiving spirit and an unforgiving heart. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7. Ephesians 4 huma edikan chemunsun. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. God is rich in grace. Obia o aduma shane manu. Otimi edinipa mfum so chewom. Can I have an amen? Okunu ni oyiri no okunu namfo. Obia nyame aduma shane manu. Otumi di ade che. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So the reason why God is always forgiving us is that he's rich in what? Grace and mercy. God is too rich, fully loaded, fully nyanya, fully armed with grace. That is why some of you at times, when you look at your own life and the way God has forgiven you, you are surprised. Because God is rich in grace. By his mercies, we are not consumed. So Jesus said in Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Let's read Matthew 6, 14 and 15. I said, number one, unforgiveness creates a barrier between you and God. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Stop there. Here Jesus is saying that the only way your Father in heaven will forgive you, it's when somebody offends you, you forgive. Otherwise, forget about asking God to forgive you. That's the condition. Se unfa adienche obia enko nyame ho sofanche say, for if ye forgive men your trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So if you don't forgive somebody, or if you forgive somebody, then God will forgive somebody. If you are merciful to somebody, God will be merciful to you. And there are many Christians who come to church very audacious, very, very spiritual. And when they are worshiping, they will cry. They will lie on the floor. Some of them, you have to even carry them home. Yet, they come to church and they are hurt. They are broken. And do you know what is happening? I will talk about that. Let's move on. Let's go to verse 15. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I mean, that's the, he said, God says, listen to me. I'm a very nice God. Wonderful God, but I'm telling you this. Because I have forgiven you of all that you have done against me. If you choose not to forgive somebody, me, God, I will never forgive you. And at first I got amazed. Why are you not in church? And this sister says something about me. This brother has done this. That's a child speaking. That's a child speaking. A 20 or 29 year old behaving like a crutch. And the other day, I was expecting pastor to do this for me. He didn't do it for me. So I've stopped church. Go into the sea. Because the sea is big. Because I'm a human being, so can't I err? Especially if you have been with me for some time. And you even walk to me and say, Apostle, I was expecting you to do this for me. I said, I am very sorry. Why don't you give me the opportunity to even ask for your forgiveness? Or I came to church one day, Apostle was preaching, and I went to share my problem with him 1 year ago. The way he was mentioning the thing, and the way he said a woman, but he didn't mention a name. I know I am the one he's talking to. I'm Apostle. I am the one he's talking to. You have a problem. You have a big problem, because I've been preaching for many years. The first time I preached as a young boy was 1983. As a student, I've been called to preach a scripture in on very short. I've been preaching for about 30. I've been preaching. Excuse me. But even if I mention your name, what is it? Are you not a human being? Even the president of Mahama, don't we mention his name? The other time I was passing. Pastor greeted this person. We were conversing. But he saw me, especially the women. He saw me. I know he saw me. And it appears I have done something against him. I don't know what I've done against him. You have a problem, As the person said, what have I done to you? Ask him, what have I done? What is it that I have? Tell me. Look at the person, Mr. Say, if I have done, tell me, I will ask for your forgiveness. Tell him. He's killing the church. The Holy Spirit cannot be here. We can come here nicely dressed. You see, are the choristers in the church? Yes. The choristers. At time when some of the songs don't go well, it's two auto singers who are not talking. Hey! I have led a choir before. You don't know I've been a choir leader before. In my school days, I was a choir leader. I handed over to Dr. Peter Ite when he came here. So I have led choir. I know how choir behave. When I was in a secondary school, I sacked 3 choir members from the choir. They were in Form 5 and the rest were engineers. And every time they were quarreling, I'm supposed to sing. I'm supposed to be the lead singer. So one day, I was lying on my bed in the dormitory and I heard the word sack, sack. I just went and I said, from today, I'll sack you from the choir. Then, when I went to the next meeting, Form 1, Form 2, Form 3, come and see the choir. It was exciting. Because the people there are not talking to each other. Barriers, difficult barriers, which nobody, they themselves have put it there. So you are believing God for a breakthrough. I say, be a me catch you already. God say, barrier. Cross the barrier. Open the barrier. Then they will fall down. Oh, magic. God said, no, there is a difficult barrier. Remove the barrier of unforgiveness. You are a husband. Your wife can say one thing to you, If you are not careful, you won't give chop money for 1 week. I'm telling you. Hey! Like a woman will say, are you a man? But what did you marry? Did you marry a butterfly? Are you a man? Hey! When we are talking about men, you two will say you are a man. Hey, how can you say this? Am I preaching a good message to somebody? Unforgiveness. And if you're a wife, then your husband will make a comment. Go and see what the other women are doing and learn from it. You say, You see, the thing about women is that when you say something to them, after you have gone home, they'll be reciting it. Go and look at the other woman and learn from them. So you say, for me, I'm a fool, This me, I don't know anything. I am preaching a good message about unforgiveness. Yeah. It's killing us, killing his presence, killing his power. There's no flow. I can't look at your face and smile with you because there is something I'm not aware of, but you have against me. Let ask the person, what do you have against me? The way you are looking at me, ask him. It appears you have something against me. What do you have against me? Genesis chapter 15. And number 2, unforgiveness creates a barrier in fulfilling your prophecy. Some of you, some prophetic word have been said about you, but somebody has offended you. Please release him, let him go so that you can go on in life. Nyamia ayen komshe bia fa honem obi aye obi bia she wakome mpa cho jane no nko na bo wabrabo na komshe ne mrem. Can I have an amen? Yeah. Allow him to go and let the prophecy come to pass. From verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, who certainly required us all the evil which we did unto him. Look at him. You see, Joseph's brother, I will preach a message on this maybe one day. I mean, in a certain way. You know, Joseph had brothers, but they were bad guys. They would do the very opposite what their father says they would do. The father would say, go and take off the sheep. When they go, they will kill the sheep, roast it, and eat it. Joseph would go and say, Daddy, when I went, they were roasting the sheep. How many of you have seen that when you have, especially those of you who have younger children in the house, and when your mother goes to town, you go and take some of the soup. When your mother can say, Mommy, Brakojo, you took soup, one fish. And then you hold the child. Hey, next time, don't say that again. You'll be beating the child. And that's how Joseph was. He would tell the father about the evil report of his brothers. They didn't like him. The Bible said that one day when his father sent him to go and bring him food, they caught him, took off his coat, sold him to some people, and the sheep they ate and roasted, they used the blood to sprinkle on Joseph's coat, and they went to show to his father and say, your son whom you loved. So the Bible says that when Joseph's brothers realized that their father Jacob was dead, they had the meeting and said, now that daddy is dead, this is the time for this guy to pay us back. They knew it. They knew they had done so much evil. They knew they had done so much evil. And said, he will pay us back. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Joseph did what? He did what? Do you know why he wept? He started thinking that at 17 years, when some of them were 30 and 35, how they were able to frame him up, how they were able to sell him up. He trusted them. He trusted them. Daddy sent me to bring you food. He trusted them. So when they went to him and they said that, for we are reminding you that daddy says that you should forgive me us, Joseph began to weep. It was better they didn't go. He started weeping. He went to his room and started crying. He remembered when they sold him. He remembered when he went to Potiphar's house. He remembered how he entered into prison. He remembered how every time he had to move. And he remembered, if you want, I'm going to show you Joseph's film. When they put him in the film, they were still throwing stones on him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. Give the Lord some praise. Didn't you know he has forgiven you? He brought you all there, gave you food to eat, gave you a nice place to stay. This was the very dream he had, that you people are saying shall not come to pass. Some of you, there are a prophecy that have been said about you. People say they are watching, but they shall be very surprised. I said they shall be very surprised. And one of the barriers you need is that people have hurt you. I say forgive them. Today I can say forgive them. Break that barrier. Some of you must go home and write it down. Today, I forgive you and cancel it. Say, I forgive you. I want to live my life. Give him some praise. I just want to go on. Because anytime I remember this thing, I am hurt. Anytime it comes into my mind, I am broken. I am okay until I remember this thing. Please forgive. Let it move out of your heart. At times, people come to me and say, but why do you still do this thing? I say, no. Let me do it for them. They may not like me. They may always say evil against me, but I always do them good. Because if I follow it, I will not do well. I always pray good for evil. I always be doing that. Because I want to fulfill what God has called. It's a barrier. And some of them will stop you. Don't cross because of unforgiveness. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for I am in the place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it to be good, to bring to pass at this day to save much people our lives. Anytime somebody hurts you, he thinks he's doing you evil. But I see God telling you to be good. I say telling you to be good. If only you can forgive the thing the person has done to you, thinking that he wants to destroy you, you have a shock of his life that the same thing will turn out to be for your favor. Yeah. One of the things people can do to destroy you is when they say things about you. The problem is that you cannot go and collect what you have said. You can say, I should forgive you, but it is in the minds of the people you have told them. One day, a certain man says something evil about somebody. He went to the person, please, all that I have said against you, forgive me. The man said, I'm coming. The man went to buy a lot of feathers, fowl feathers, small, small ones, and threw it on the floor from where his house is to the other person's house. And he said, if you can collect all. Because as you are collecting, the thing about feathers is that it's so light. He said, as you are collecting, the wind will be blowing it. But if you can collect all the feathers on the floor, I will forgive you. For everything you are saying, when a person came back for days, he said, I couldn't. And he said, I'm telling you what you have done to me. What you have done to me. He said, for everything you said about me, it's like a feather that is gone. You see, you can't find it. Some of you people who have done nothing, you are just destroying them. Prophecy can be stopped because of them. So today I'm showing you why some things cannot come to pass in your life. Unforgiveness. It's a very dangerous thing. The thing about unforgiveness is that you are not even aware. That's the danger of it. That's why I'm reminding you of it today. But there are some things. Anytime I was working with someone, I said, there are certain people you should try not to. When you offend them, just go and ask your father, your mother, a man of God, just try and say, please forgive me. Because see, they are in a certain state. When they release some words, it's a matter of time. That's why I like David. He said, look, no matter what Saul will do against me, I will never say anything against him. Neither will I. And yesterday I spoke to him. Do you know that when Saul wanted to kill David, David went in the night and cut the dress of Saul. When Saul woke up, do you know what David said? He accused his army commander, Abner. He said, Abner, are you so foolish that you didn't guard your master, that you allowed me to come by night and cut Saul's dress? Can you imagine how righteous the man was? He said, it's not you, it's your army commander that I am against. He called Abner, his army commander. He said, Abner, are you so loose that by night I was able to come and cut your master's cloth and you didn't see? Oh, Abner, you have done foolishly. Some of you, when you are in an e-cell, when you're speaking about your e-cell, that you two are contributing, you have to help. Talking about a deacon, say, yeah, he's wrong, but what can we do about it? You are an apprentice. You are working with your master. And then you gather to a place, then they are talking about your master. Then you are contributing to it. Hey! The master who is teaching you how to work, you are bringing a curse upon yourself because he's blessing you and you are destroying him. Are you learning something today? You are working with your boss. They are talking about him. It would be better not comment. You move on. Because one day your boss will hear anyway. One day when he hears, if he's a wise boss, he will call you and say, I heard this. But if he's a wicked boss, he waits. One day he'll go for a meeting about your promotion. So now that you are going on transfer, who do you think can take over? He says, oh, this guy is not good at all. It's better you bring somebody from another department. Then he says, oh, this man, I have said he's paying you back. Unforgiveness delays your prophecy and it's a barrier. Unforgiveness brings a barrier to your progress in life. Matthew 18 from verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and forgive him? Till seven times. You know, Peter was a very smart guy. Somebody had offended him and he wanted to pay back. Do you know that Peter had some attitude? The Bible says that when they were going to kill Jesus, he knew the people were wicked. So when Peter was going, he came with a sword And I like Peter for that. He knew how to protect his master. When they went to the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter had taken a sword. Nobody knew. The sword was in his patakari. You know, those things they wear. And they were praying. They were praying the night. And Jesus would call Peter. Peter, how is it so? We are waiting on the Lord. But you say we should pray. We are all in the spirit. When they appeared, the Bible said he took the sword, went straight, looked at the army officer who was very and cut off his ear. Said, next time, not my master. That is why Jesus gave him. Jesus said, no, this guy is a fisherman, but I can entrust. He's doing everything for me. The other seems to be around me. But this guy, what about if they killed him? He seems to be venturing and doing certain things as if he even wants to die for me. He said, I can entrust the church. I can entrust the church into his hands. Never trust a general who has no wounds. Never trust a pastor who has never been hurt. Never trust a pastor who has not gone through problems. When you go through problems, it solidifies you. Oh yeah. See a pastor who has gone through so many problems and he's still there, then you know that no, God has called him. Because one thing can wipe up your ministry. Seriously. Jesus said unto him, I say unto thee, unto 7 times, but unto 70 times 7, 490 times. 400 and what? Somebody came to my wife, anytime he does something and I told him, he say he's sorry. Somebody will come to my husband, anytime he does something against me and I go and say, he say he's sorry. Every time, sorry. But what should he say? Should he say, go away? What should he say? But so when he says sorry, let it go. 70 times 7. What it means is that just forgive the person and move on. Can I say something? Don't you realize that there's a particular thing you have told somebody you don't like? That's what he does all the time. First, let me talk about husband and wives. You told your wife, I don't like this food. This food. I have told you that after 7, I don't like it. Then when you come, he says, oh, I thought today you like it. But I've told you I don't like it. So I thought today you like it. The husbands, am I helping you? You tell your husband, please, these days, the things are very expensive in the market, so try and give me the money on Mondays so that I'll buy all the things. Is your husband a bank? Give me money for 1 month or 1 week so that I can buy it down. The very day you told him, last week he gave you for 1 week. Then the Saturday there was nice honey. Oh, honey, last week you did well. I know. Then the Monday, he said, oh, this week there, I'll do it one day. So, oh, were you not the one who said last week? He said, I've changed my mind. It's like, oh, you are bringing confusion to the household. You are bringing, listen, just forgive him and move on. Verse 23. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in whom owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife, his children, and everything he owed to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me, and I will pay it all. I'll pay it all. I'll pay how many? How many? Let's move on. Then his master was filled with pity for him, and he released him and forgave his debt. But when the man left the king, he went to a fellow servant who owed him a few thousands of dollars. He grabbed him by the throat. I want you to be free before you leave here today. Some of you, the pain is too much. People have done too much against you. But I want to say, you want to say, Lord, I want to be free. I want to cross this barrier. Now lift up your hands. Begin to pray for the next 5 years. Say, Lord, now let the doors be open. Let the barriers be open now. Let the barrier of prophecy, the prophecy that was put on my life, I command it to come to pass in the name of Jesus. The progress, I want it to come to pass. Nyama nyamia kafa meho. Inkomsha abafa meho. Say, and now udime bani achemi. And now medi inkofo su bani achewa monu. Eradi masa bari animwe mame.
We believe you've been blessed by this life-changing message by Apostle Emmanuel Apienin. You're welcome to join us in any of our powerful services. Word Life Church is located in Ashaman, Middle East, few meters across the Barclays Bank Junction. For more information, please contact us on 031-229-7901 or 031-229-7902 and 0245-228924. Or you can also log on to our website on www.wordlifechurchgh.com. God richly bless you.